Good morning. Today is Friday, June the 4th. Joining us this morning from the city of Eureka is Donna Wood. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are just a wee bit too perky for most of us, but we'll see what we can do to dummy that one down.
Oh, man, I'm just excited to be here.
Oh, yeah, right. The donut must have kicked in, huh?
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Are you ready for our question for this morning?
Yes, let's go.
All right. Why do military men and women greet each other with a salute?
Is this a legit question?
Yeah, this is a legit question. I even have the answer.
Oh, and you have the answer? Well, I'm excited to hear the answer. Let's hear your answer.
In the days of chivalry, a knight would greet a friend by raising his visor to expose his face. When visors went out of existence, men raised their hats for the same purpose. In the military, this custom was eventually abbreviated to just touching the brim of the hat, leading to the present-day salute.
Oh.
It's a legit one.
Yeah, very legit. That's
now,
true.
Now, I could set you up for next time, and I probably have.
All right.
Oh. So, what is, for folks that are unfamiliar with what you do, Donna, what are you in charge of? What are you doing for the city?
All right. Well, I am the current director of the Community Services Department for the city of Eureka. I've actually been with the city for 25 years. Started as a summer camp recreation leader back in 96, and currently the purview of Community Services includes, gosh, a lot of great stuff. We are the harbor, the marina. We've got 14 city parks throughout the city, the Sequoia Park Zoo. We oversee environmental programs, including trails and garbage and recycling, recreation programs galore. Yep, we just got a lot of good stuff going on.
When people think of the bay, a lot of times we think of, you know, the boats that are on the bay. There's a distinction, obviously, between the two. One is the small boat basin, and one is where the commercial guys are. What is the long-term hoped-for plans for the Eureka Docks or the small boat basin, you know, depending on how old you are?
Well, I think just to kind of keep it pretty short on that topic, I would just say we are working hard to continue to improve the current docks and all the harbor along the bay, making improvements along the way, seeking grant funding to continue to improve. We've got the Samoa Boat Launch Project underway, and we're just working on lots of short and long-term projects.
Is there a lot more boats now, recreational craft, that are looking for places? You know, we see a lot of travel, a lot of tourism, people driving into the area. Are they also boating into the area?
They definitely are, and we seem to always be full. We've got a waiting list, and there's definitely a need, and I think we're fulfilling that need, but there's probably a greater interest than the spaces that we have. But yeah, boating's a hot topic these days.
Is there any opportunity to expand that? You know, in the old days, you know, we had the ice plan and the pros, so to speak, were using an awful lot of the dock space along the Eureka side. Is there any way to accommodate more, or is it just you're kind of locked into what you're locked into at this point?
At this point, there are no plans for any expansion in terms of the spaces that we currently have.
Now, the Warfinger building itself is something that I think a lot of people may not have been in it lately, but they certainly see it as one of the landmarks, if you will, along the waterfront. Is that building being utilized the way that it was early on, or have things kind of changed with its use?
That's a great question. It is a gorgeous building, and it is absolutely continuing to be used as it was meant to be. Weddings up the Wazoozie has been, I mean, obviously this last year things have been a little bit on the slow side, and things have been different, but we're looking to get back where we were, and we have rentals nonstop at the Warfinger. People love that site. The view shed out the windows is just gorgeous, and whether it's weddings or trainings or conferences. We have lots of rentals of that facility. It's been a good investment for Eureka.
Now, there's a lower meeting area also. Mm-hmm. Yep. Is that also utilized to the same extent?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. It is one of our bigger rental facilities. It's a gym, and it's definitely used regularly.
Now you mentioned the trails also, and I think probably the last big push has been the one at, I guess, between your office and our office is it the north or the eastern end of, behind Target and around Target.
Mm-hmm, the Eureka Waterfront Trail.
By the Slough Bridge and mm-hmm, that.
Over to Tidd Street.
Yeah. How is that holding up? It's been, what, 4 or 5 years now?
Mm-hmm.
How is that working out?
You know what? The Eureka Waterfront Trail is just, it's beautiful. It's beautiful and it's used. And you know what? It has been used nonstop throughout this entire pandemic. And I think it's been a great source of joy for a lot of folks in this town. My office is down at the Adorney Center, and so I see folks biking, walking, running with puppies and children. I mean, it's just a big, big city asset and absolutely used on the regular. Really great.
Is there a lot of maintenance associated with that? You would think so typically, but you know, that's, I guess, why I'm asking, because you know, I'm sure there must be some elements that just needed sprucing up every once in a while.
Yeah, definitely. Maintaining the landscape along the sides of the trail is a big focus.
You mean the weeds?
Yep.
Okay.
And then also, of course, just the daily issues that might come up with debris and stuff like that. So just ongoing daily maintenance. But no big issues of concern as of late. So it's in good shape.
The goofballs that like to spray paint things, do they play around on the trail at all, or is that because it's not as visible as other locations? Does it tend to not be?
Unfortunately, yes. The answer to that one is a definite. Especially when it comes to our interpretive signage, those signs typically take the biggest brunt of that. But our staff are awesome, and they're quick to jump on those situations, and we remedy them and get fresh signage right back in place. So
the
whatever happens, we get it back on point.
The metal bridge, I'd like to talk about that when we come back. It's a unique design, or at least something that's unique to my experiences. I'd like to touch base on that one when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Donna Wood from the city of Eureka. Donna, the bridges that are on the trail, it's the metal footing kind of, I don't know, it's sticky, kind of. It's unique in its design. What got our attention was the first time we walked it, the dogs wouldn't walk on it because it had a different sense, and I don't know if it was locking their pads or whatever, but there was a lot of hesitancy, so we started paying attention to it. Are those designed so they don't slip when it's wet or slip when it gets icy and things of that nature?
Yes.
Is that
definitely to prevent slippage, and then also to prevent the growth of any, you know, moss or any kind of any kind of texture that would cause increased slippage. So yeah, it's a all about. Yeah, we've seen lots of puppies have that same kind of hesitation, not only from the texture, but also from the sound
that
the bridge makes.
So, yes. Yep. Yeah, when you get the bike running, a bicycle going past you, making that noise. Yeah, it's a little bit different. Are there any thoughts to adding more of the interpretive signs? It's tough with one sign to really talk about 125 years.
Yeah, definitely. So you were asking if there was plans on for more signage?
Yeah. I mean, there's a number of spots there where maybe the shipbuilding wasn't referenced, but the Indian story was, or vice versa. And, you know, each of those locations have got elements that could be talked about, or you're standing here, if you turn around, what you're looking at is boom, 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 or what used to be, you know, those types of things that I think would be really cool for folks that are history geeks to kind of have some of that stuff filled in. And it's, you know, the area isn't as it appears and always hasn't been as it appears. And here's what it looked like at this time or at that time.
Definitely. That's a fun question. We currently have about 15 to 20 interp signs along the 6.5 miles of trail. One kind of inside scoop, we are currently working on another park project for the space that's right next to the Adorney Center, kind of in front of the Sacco Amphitheater. We received a donation from a beautiful family. It's going to be the Grace Martin Memorial Park and Playground. And there will be additional interpretive signage, as well as you were speaking of our boating history. We've commissioned a 40-foot merchant ship that's been built from Eric over at
Hollenbeck.
Yes, and so that's going to be that'll be an interpretive aspect. So definitely, we're not done with interpretation. You're right. There's a long, beautiful history. The ups and downs of Eureka. So there's more to come for sure.
Is there even, this kind of sounds goofy for some of us that are a little bit longer in tooth. Is there anything that even talks about who Sam was and what he did and why there's an amphitheater named after him?
You know what? I do believe there is some interpretive signage, but I wouldn't attempt to speak to it right now.
Huh.
But that might be something to look into for sure.
Well, at least as you're walking to your car. Even some of that stuff from the 70s and the 80s seems to be slipping through a lot of fingers now. That kind of stuff. Or the Adornies. You know, is there an interpretive sign on who they were or who he was specifically?
Mm-hmm.
Where the dollars came from and what started that whole process down in that area. I mean, just those kinds of simple things, I think, would really, for newer folks or for tourists, would give them a little bit more insight on what we were and what we were like and where the mills were and the shipbuilding and just all those types of things that are unfortunately relegated to historical books these days.
Good thought.
Just a comment. Yeah, I can spend I can spend money you don't have like nobody's business.
No, I mean, those are great thoughts. We spend a lot of time. Every time we're working on any kind of park projects, we're always thinking about the history and the interpretive aspects and all that good stuff. So you're right on point with those thoughts for sure.
Now, there was a thought and comment at one point that the trail was going to be extended up either through Cooper's Gulch or to Cooper's Gulch or through Cooper's Gulch and eventually maybe even out to the zoo. Is that still on the books? What's the status of that element of that trail?
Yep, there's still some projects being worked on for sure regarding extending the trail. One kind of exciting thing, you bring up Cooper Gulch Park. There, we have just completed submitting a grant for some trail work through that park. It's an $8.5 million grant that we submitted for Prop 68, and we've been working with a lovely volunteer group, Cooper Gulch Common Grounds, and together our city staff from Community Services and the CGCG group. We spent the last few months preparing a grant based on a ton of community input, and so Cooper Gulch Park, hopefully we find out about that grant later this fall. And one part of that application did include a lot of trail work throughout that throughout that space, as well as a lot of other improvements. So, in fact, $8.5 million worth if we are able to score that grant. So, good stuff coming to that particular area for
now,
sure.
Now, would that take the trail all the way up through to Eureka High School, running up through the gully there?
It would not, but there's a lot of projects definitely in the works of how can we continue to connect community spaces throughout, but nothing in particular up through Eureka High as of yet.
But that could happen at least because it is the Greenbelt area.
Right.
In theory.
Right.
Yeah, unless there's wetlands and all that remediation and mitigation and all
sure.
that good stuff. Yeah. Too much legalese for a lot of us, I think. Yeah. Can you cut the trail in? Yes or no? Thank you very much.
I know.
Yeah.
It's fun to dream, but there's definitely lots of hoops to jump through. That's for sure.
No kidding. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Donna Woods from the City of Eureka's Community Services Division. Ooh, you're a division, not a department.
Department.
You're a department? You like that better than division?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Department. Now, the city has a number of parks, 2030, Highland. One of those has gotten a lot of attention. One of them has gotten a lot of upgrade. As you look at that side of town, what is the status of those investments that were being discussed over the last year or two?
Yeah, so the most exciting one, the hottest project that we're working on right now is 2030 Park. And that is the $6.3 million grant that the City of Eureka was awarded. It was a pretty exciting grant to receive because there was over almost 500 applications throughout the state of California, and only 62 projects won, and 2030 Park was one of those projects. It kind of gives me goosebumps thinking about it. It's kind of a big deal for Eureka. So our city staff, we just recently chose a designer. So we're currently working with a designer, the Milton Design Group, and we will be reaching back out to the community for more community input to help us with that final design. And we should be shovel ready next spring, 2022, to invest $6.5 million into Eureka in that beautiful neighborhood. So it's pretty exciting particular neighborhood.
When we look at that setup and you guys make the grant application for that area, there are certain things that, okay, you're going to talk about the neighborhood and what was there before, what hasn't been there, some of the challenges, some of the opportunities. Mm-hmm. Once you get the grant, you're then able to change it after you got the grant? It seems far more flexible than what I think a lot of us might envision when an application is presented saying, here's what we want to do.
Yeah, Brian, that's a great question. Actually, the initial submittal in an application is a conceptual design. So we actually did do a lot of community input just to get that conceptual design pulled together. And I think that robust community input that we did do is probably one of the big reasons why we won the grant, because we really considered a lot of the feedback that we received. And so that was a conceptual design. So now we're taking that very similar conceptual design and expanding on it and getting it to a construction-ready design phase, which does still have an opportunity to make slight changes, but the core parts of what we requested in the grant will remain intact, whether in terms of we want to ensure we have an inclusive playground for ages 0 to 5 and then an inclusive playground for ages 5 to 12. And we want to, you know, have ADA accessible pathways throughout the park and new basketball courts and stuff like that. So some of the core amenities that we requested in the initial grant application remain, but we do still have an opportunity to go back out and double check and make sure we're on the right point before we go into designing those construction documents.
Now, a lot of folks, at least my age and probably plus or minus 10 years, remember that, is that that's where Eureka Midget League, that's where the ballpark was, and you had the hoops on the other side and maybe an area for practice and kind of a unique little roadway through there. And that was about all she wrote. What does this vision look like for that total area? I mean, is there going to be a lot of playground space? Are you going to have a couple of ball fields? Is there going to be soccer fields there? What are you looking at as far as the design, the overall design of this facility?
Yeah, well, the Jacob Haney ball field itself will remain intact with just some improvements from bleachers and scorers tables, the dugouts, the drainage will be renovated. In terms of the park on the other side, the restrooms, of course, will now be actually accessible and ADA accessible at that. We'll more than likely have a concession stand with our new restroom facilities. And then we always want to make sure we maintain enough open space for that free play that that folks enjoy, whether it be soccer or just whatever ball games folks might want to play out in an open grassy field. But then we've got the opportunity to construct a new volleyball court, maybe a hybrid basketball, roller hockey type of court, add in some fitness stations, picnic areas. Yeah, so a little bit of everything. But the way it's designed is kind of still in the works. So a little bit of sky's the limit, but the ball field itself will remain kind of intact in its current location.
Now, there's I do not remember what the road is, but the goofy little road that's like a block long that butts into it.
Yes.
You know the one.
Yes.
Is there going to be a parking area for folks using that road, or are you going to try to limit that just to the residents that are there? Because it looks like, obviously, it wasn't designed to be what it is today, but it's mm-hmm. kind of a cool little attribute if it could be utilized.
Yeah, there's nothing solidified as of yet, but we're definitely looking at parking lots and lighting and landscaping and really, utilizing the space to the best of its capacity is the plan. What that will actually look like, we will find out this summer, because that's kind of that's the big hot topic of the day around these parts.
Now, I would like to think that the neighbors are going to have more influence than those of us who live at the other end of town or even those who are outside the city limits of Eureka. Is there a weighting, W-E-I-G-H-T, weighting scale for those folks that's their neighborhood, that's their neighborhood park, that they are going to have more impact and more influence on the design of the facility than somebody who's lives miles away?
Absolutely. We will 100% take into account the feedback that we receive from the neighborhood right surrounding the park. And we did during our first phase, getting prepared for the application itself. We definitely reached out and had many public meetings and on opportunities for folks to weigh in, and we'll do so again. And, of course, we definitely want to hear from our neighboring folks around the park, and we actually do on the regular, because we get a lot of feedback here in our department from all of our various parks throughout town. So, and it's always very welcomed. We love to hear how people are feeling and what kind of experiences they're having and kind of needs we need to address. So yes, 100%.
I would figure that parks are something that are personal. And you
yes,
do
yes,
you
yes.
would get that feedback. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Donna Wood from the city of Eureka. Donna, we see a little bit of construction going on out at Sequoia Park, and I know that there are a lot of folks that are concerned. Are the swing sets going to stay there? Are the slides going to stay there? Is the gazebo going to stay there? But there's a new edifice, I guess would be what I would call it, close to where the train used to be. What is that other than just bathrooms?
All right. I'm so excited to talk about Sequoia Park real quick. We have a multi-phase project happening at Sequoia Park. The first phase is what's going on right now, and it is more than just a restroom, that is for sure. It's in a whole adventure playground for kids and with some accessible play opportunities as well. We received a grant of about $200,000 from the Land and Water Conservation Fund, and that's what has helped us fund this first phase of Sequoia Park. We should be opening up this first phase sometime in the next month or two, definitely before the end of summer. And it's so exciting. And then phase two and three, the second phases, we're going to be doing, staff are continuing to seek grants, and as well, we probably will have a fundraising campaign launching this summer, an old growth adventure fundraising campaign for the next phases. In terms of the gazebo and the swings and the slides, 100% the gazebo will be staying, and it will be reinvigorated with some new life and love and attention. The slides as well will absolutely be staying. The swings, on the other hand, we will, of course, continue to have swings. However, the current swings no longer meet the standards of playground safety they just don't quite meet that same playground safety. So we can't refinish and reinvent them and keep them as is. So they're going to need to be changed up a little bit. But we 100% will have all of the swings that we currently have now. And then the slides, of course, and the gazebo. That's Sequoia Park. Good stuff happening at Sequoia Park. Beautiful.
Now, you said adventure playground, and it was that way when I was growing up, but the adventure wasn't necessarily positive ones. What are you defining adventure playground as? Let's kick it out 3 or 4 years, so all is done. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I think what we've learned is as pulling together playgrounds for our various parks throughout town, there are a lot of playgrounds that are very cookie cutter. They're the standard kind of plastic type playground experiences that you see all throughout America, and they're fun and they're great. But when it came to Sequoia Park just needs, it's a special space. You know, it's a beloved park in this town, and it deserved a really unique play experience. So the kinds of playground amenities and opportunities to play are going to feel different than a stereotypical playground. There's going to be wobble bridges to walk on. That's kind of a small example. In the second phase of the Sequoia Park playground, there will, again, instead of a stereotypical playground, we're looking to build a more of a treehouse experience, kind of built around the existing grove of trees, kind of taking the inspiration from the Redwood Skywalk and turning that into a playground experience for kids. So a little bit more adventure, a little less typical playgrounds, and a little more unique and special experience that anyone enjoying Sequoia Park would hope to enjoy.
It kind of sounds like you're describing almost what Front Park is like in Crescent City. The fort, the walk,
that park up there.
Yeah, along those lines more than what you see, let's say, at Carson Park, for example.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, where does the duck pond fit into all this?
Well, the duck pond it's gotten some love in the last couple of years, and it's just going to continue to be enjoyed. Eventually, here over time, we want to continue to improve the trail system throughout all the trails leading down to the duck pond. We gotta love our duck pond. That's just a special part of Eureka.
Now,
I think everybody would agree.
The old cabin that's down there that I think was, boy, was that, I know there's a story to it, and I just totally spaced on it. Is that going to be renovated, worked, brought back, or is it just going to stay the slab that's down there and mysteries will surround it?
Yeah, no plans to renovate. Definitely plans to interpret, much like you were speaking about earlier. There's a lot of rich stories within Sequoia Park and its history, so there's a lot of opportunities for interpretation to learn and share that history with future generations. So definitely plans for that.
Yeah, is part of that going to be talking about the Glatt family also?
Absolutely, 100%.
Great. It's time that they get credit for what they made available.
Yes.
Alrighty. Hey, we made it. End of the week. Yahoo! Wahoo! All right. 4-day weeks. I just really love them. Yes. All right, Donna. Thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.